Wow.
And it ain't over yet.
No, it sure isn't. Not by long shot. But Jesus is Lord. I know that much. And he's on the throne and he's not coming off.
Amen.
Unless he's going to, you know, come to us. But we're on the throne with him. That's what's good news. I don't know if I could stick this on me here. I forgot to wear the proper thing. Is that too close?
Every time.
No, it's fine.
Is that, okay. All righty. Well, Dr. Taylors had asked me to, since this is kind of a spur of the moment thing, Dr. Taylors had asked me to write down the things that God has been sharing with me in prayer and during this time. And I know that he's been sharing things with you too. So after I share some of what God has shown me, I'm going to open it up and have you all share some things that God's showing you and what he's had you pray. But let's turn to Psalm 37. Hello? Is that good? The Lord had given me this just recently, but this is one of the first things that he spoke to me before this whole thing with the coronavirus came about. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. I'm going to go over here to 23. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young and I'm old, and yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. So depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saint. They are preserved forever to be the seed of the wicked, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. Now I'm going to stop there because that was what, but I want to go down to 37. And this is, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The Lord wants us to walk in peace in the midst of the storms that we're walking through, because he has overcome and we are overcomers. I want to share something that a saint shared with me. I won't mention their name, but because I didn't have permission to share it, so I'm not going to say who it is. But it was a formidable saint. And they were sharing with me recently that they had, in the midst of a nightmare, and overnight, they saw a window open in their dream. And in the window, they saw all these, they weren't sure if they were angels or God's people. I think they were God's people, because what she saw was from the Ancient of Days until the days now. They were strong, they were vibrant, they were like warriors with muscles, and they were fit, and they were fit for the battle. But they were from ancient to modern times. It was just a span of history. All the overcoming warriors in history, which was very profound to me. It really moved me, because we are the overcomers. We are overcomers, and we shall overcome, because he's overcome. So let's turn to John. I think it's 1 John. I didn't put 1 John, but I think it's 1 John.
1 John or John?
1 John. 1 John 5. Whoever believeth Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten in him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. So if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. And he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record of God, who gave his Son, the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us: eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So this is an assurance that God hears us. And lately, almost everything that I have prayed has either come to pass, or he's showing me that it's coming to pass. And it's almost like, I'm sure that all of you have testimonies of the things that God's had you pray and are coming to pass. And yet there's those stubborn things. I mean, we all have those stubborn things that we've been praying and praying and we haven't seen yet. But it's like the things that he's showing me to pray, I'm seeing the results. I'm seeing those. We are overcomers as we pray according to the Holy Spirit. He will lead you and guide you in how to pray, especially in these last hours. As we are in the holy place, this is so important for us to be in that place, in Him, in that secret place, because there's a lot out of information. A lot of people are going to this prophet, that person. We go here and we go there. But God wants to hear us to hear it from Him first.
Yeah.
We can get confirmation if we need it, but God wants to speak to us personally.
Yes.
He wants us, He has a relationship with us, and He doesn't want us to have to be looking for an answer. Mm-hmm. He's the answer. He is the one. And so as He speaks, has been speaking to me, and I've been hearing other prophets, it's been a confirmation to me. It's been an amazing thing to hear what others are saying when God is showing you the same thing. But we don't need, the sons of God don't need to find the answers from other people. The church has been too busy, well, the scooting church has been too busy looking, going here and going there and going here and wanting somebody else to pray over there and wanting somebody to give them a word here. There's nothing wrong with getting a word if you're going somewhere. But when that's what you're constantly seeking, you need to be, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but we have people in our lives that do that in families. I do. And it's amazing how the Lord is there. He will speak to you what you need to know. It's not, if we are, you know, a baby in Christ, that's one thing. But there's no babies here, at least not tonight. We're all mature sons, or maturing into full manifested sons of God. But, so I'm not speaking this in condemnation, or God is not rebuking us for doing that. But this is what I've observed, because I see a lot of people outside of the body, and people going here and there. Well, I'm going to this and I'm going to that. Well, it's one thing if God tells you to go for His purpose. It's another thing to just go here and there and everywhere to be hearing the word of the Lord. And I see a lot of people doing that now. And we've got to come out of that and know that this in the secret place is where He wants to speak to us. Because He's going to speak to us personally, daily. The time that we're coming into, we have to know moment to moment what the Lord's speaking. There was a time in my life before I got married that God taught me how to walk moment to moment. He showed me, He had a moment to moment walk for all of us. And I walked it out, and it was an incredible time. But I mean, it was different than after I got married. It changed. I thought God had left me, but... It just changed, that's all. It just changed because He was no longer leading me here and leading me there. I was home, I had children, and I couldn't go to and fro and be led by Him in that way. I had to be led in the home to do what God was calling me to do in the home. So it was a change, but He has a plan for us daily and even moment to moment in times that we need it moment to moment. And if ever there was a time we need to hear God's voice daily on a regular basis, even moment to moment, it's now. It's now. There are things that are coming. I mean, we've just begun to see. This is just the beginning of sorrows. It's just the beginning. But I have to say I have joy because of the joy that's set before us of what God's doing on the earth, what He's doing with what Satan is trying to do. Satan is trying to push the time. He's trying to advance the time. He thinks he could. I don't understand why he thinks he can get away with stuff. I don't understand why he is under his own deception, because he really believes that he can change the time and times of God. He really believes that, and he's doing everything he can to push time out of God's timing. He's done that from a long time ago till now, and he's doing it, but the Lord is just laughing at him. He's just laughing at him because he's using what the enemy's trying to do for his purpose. He's using this for a time. He's making the way for us to have be in that secret place. You know, before long we may be confined to our house completely, and what are you going to do? Especially if the TV and the internet go, what are you going to do? You know, he's making the way where there seems to be no way for people to stop being busy, mm-hmm. and to come to him, and it's incredible how he's done this. But he's also taken down all the gods. He's taken down the Asteris and the Volips and all the names of the gods that are over this nation. I didn't have time, because this was kind of a short notice of being speaking that, but I didn't have time to go through all the gods. But it's an interesting study. I might ask Megan to do that, because when she was 9 years old, she stood up here in this pulpit and she taught us that all the 10 plagues that were judged were the gods of Egypt. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. She was, what, 9? That was her. I think that was her first or second time she taught. And I had never really seen that at that time. I had never really seen it, that they were gods. I didn't know they worshipped flies or... I never thought of it. But this is what's happening in our nation and across the world. The gods are being judged, and I don't know if anybody else heard this. I shared it with a few people, but the Mormon Tabernacle in Salt Lake City was struck by the earthquake, and the angel on top of the tabernacle, Moroni. What was the angel?
Moroni.
They called it Moroni. What did you call it?
It's Nephi, if you look at the original.
Nephi. They call it the angel Moroni. It was holding the trumpet, you know, the trumpet out bearing the message of
Mormon,
whatever. And that earthquake took, I mean, the angel's still standing up there, but the trumpet, boom, fell down. That's incredible. I mean, that was by divine design. I mean, Lordy, that was amazing. And there... Whoever thought Las Vegas would ever close, right? Whoever thought Disney World would be shut down? Whoever thought the sports would be shut down? Whoever thought that schools would be shut down? Whoever thought any of this would ever happen? None of us. None of us thought of that. Did you think of it? Maybe you did, but I never saw that happening. But, of course, there were a lot of people who did have visions of empty streets and cities, and, you know, you've heard of that over the years, but... it's all coming down, and it's not just in America, it's all over the world. This is a time in history, as we all know, that none of us have ever seen, nor has it ever been seen since the time of beginning. We live in a very historical end time. God is moving in ways that we don't even see or don't understand, but he also told me that we are the overcomers, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He also told me that he was resetting things. He said, there's a reset. So that was a couple of weeks ago. He told me that, and I was like, well, what's he resetting? He's resetting everything. Everything's going to be changed. At the end of this, everything is going to be different. And I said, Lord, you told me in the beginning of this year that this is going to be the best year of our lives. What happened? Well, he reminded me about two things. He reminded me about his verse of this year is not our timing. Number one. His first of this year is what, in April? Passover time. That's the beginning of the new year in the Jewish calendar at Passover. But he also reminded me about Moses and how Moses, when he went back to tell the people that they were going to be set free, and they were all really, really happy, and a few days later they were about ready to kill him because it didn't look like they were getting free at all. It looked like they were going to be in more bondage. So I know at the end, well, if there is an end, but I believe that the rest, toward the middle of the end of this year, that there will be such a reset in the kingdom of God. And some of the things he told me, we'll have to see. He told me that he was supernaturally taking his children out of debt. He was supernaturally going to bring unity and restructure the church. There's just so many things happening. But if the Lord's told you something that he's doing that we don't know about, I'd appreciate it if you share that. How about you, Aaron? Has he shown you some things?
He brought to my mind when on Passover and even before that, for the 3 days of darkness and all that, the Israelites were restrained to their homes. Mm-hmm. And it was a time of preparation and rest for them. I mean, it doesn't feel like rest for me, since Bellis and I both have to work. That means we're doing doubles every day in order to take care of the kids. But
well, your rest is coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
But,
well, it just wasn't even on Passover either. Look at all the other things that got judged. And they were in the land of Goshen for six of them, I think, at least.
Mm-hmm.
They were not involved in any of them. Well, they were involved in some of them.
Oh, some of the plagues?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a certain point where God caused a division between the two of them. Yeah. And I forget what it was now.
The lice.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then at that point, then they didn't face the plagues the same way, except for Passover, in which case, if they did not do the doorpost, then it did.
And they walked out the door, and they got blessing upon blessing poured out on them. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole Egypt was mourning, and they were getting blessings poured out on them, like, supernaturally. So the Lord was reminding me about that when I said, how are you going to get us all out of debt? I'm looking forward to it. You want to share something?
2 days ago, the Lord spoke to me. And I had to write it down, but I can pretty much recall it from memory. He said he's going to bless this nation, but he's going to reorder it.
Yeah.
I thought, the Lord...
Hallelujah.
Bless the nation. And I thought to myself, wow, we have to see bless the nation through God's eyes.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
In 1 Corinthians, it says that everything, we are enriched by Him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So blessing, I pray, is the first exegesis. Not the second exegesis, but God is going to bless this nation and reorder it. It's interesting that God spoke reset to you. Reordering speaks of the world systems. Resetting things is a start over.
Reboot.
Huh?
A reboot.
A reboot.
Well, something else interesting, if you think about it, blessings are going to come from the church on this nation.
That's right.
We are going to be, it's just like in that word that he gave me, we're going to be doing miracles. There are going to be supernatural things happening with the body of Christ that are going to bless this nation so that they can come to the Lord. That's going to be the first blessing.
Right.
Is coming to Jesus. They're come to Jesus party. I know it's kind of silly, but yeah. That, what else is there besides that? I mean, that's the first thing on the agenda. It's for them to come to Jesus, right? And bring the prodigals home. That is the blessing. And God's ordering that even now. He is adjusting that and ordering that. And He is pulling us away so that we can get prepared for that. Like I said, they were preparing at Passover. But I would love to have been in that scene when all those people coming out of their houses, all those slaves coming out of their houses, and everybody's bringing them all these things that they never had before. I would love to have seen that. That would have been just amazing. amazing. And of course, so much of it was a preparation for the temple, mm-hmm. you know, for the building yeah. of the temple.
Tabernacle,
yeah, sorry. And it was just, I would have loved to have seen that, you know.
The children of Israel asked the yeah. Egyptians. Yes. They didn't come and volunteer, they asked.
Well, God told them to ask.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I'm sure that they didn't think about that ahead of time. Ask them.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was like, if God, you know, it wasn't like, hey, can you give us our stuff? No.
Ask the people that have been beating and killing them for generations.
Right.
Give us
right.
some stuff. Let us borrow your jewelry.
Yeah. By the way, I want your whip.
That must, you know, I know we're going to get reruns of this in eternity, Lord, and I just hope that we're able to go back in history and just see the real deal, you know. I look forward to that. I know God's going to let us do that because he's just going to love it.
You know, 40 years ago, there was a prophetic song. I didn't know it was prophetic at the time, but it's, the King is coming.
Yes.
And it talks about the empty marketplaces, no more traffic in the streets.
Yes, that's right.
And so we're seeing, and the thing that we don't understand is God's timing. And this is one of the things right. that the Lord's been speaking to me about, mm-hmm. is His timing. Yeah. It's not my timing.
That's right.
It's not what I think it ought to be, because, you know, I could really mess it up. But mm-hmm. it's His timing, and, you know, that we get anxious to see God to move, because He tells us these things, mm-hmm. but it may be 10 years down, or it may be 3 years from now, or it may be tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But it's His timing that's important. Mm-hmm. Yes. See, this is the thing that Judas, he was trying to move the timing of God's kingdom up. He thought he was mm-hmm. going to be, you know, an earthly figure, but he was trying to make that happen. And sometimes we get busy trying to make God's timing come about
yes.
when it's not supposed to be.
Right.
We need to wait and see, to stand and see the power of God.
That's right. That's why it's the key is to be in His presence and to be listening to Him
That's
day
right.
by day.
To
dwell in His presence and listening for His voice. No matter what you're doing, I'm always listening for Him, you know. Mm-hmm. And He surprises me at some of the weirdest times, but... I mean, you think you'd only hear it in prayer, but you know you can dwell with Him when you're doing your chores. It's not like you just have to sit in the closet. I mean, just that your mind is stayed upon Him continually and listening for His voice, and He'll just, like, I was on the phone with somebody this morning and they were talking about something, and the Lord hit me with an answer to what they were saying, and it was such a moment of a precious love moment that it was for her, but it overcame me. But it's just, you know, He's just so sweet, and dwelling in His presence is just so sustaining, no matter what you're doing, you know, or what you're going through. No matter what battle you have, that presence of the Lord, that sustaining presence is beyond anything the world can have. But we can have it, and He's calling us to that. He's calling the body of Christ to that. Mm-hmm. And some of them, you know, haven't really gotten that point yet or understood that yet. But they will, by, you know, all those sons that He's calling will, by the end of this period of preparation for that, I believe, and they have a clarity of what God's doing, at least momentarily, you know, maybe not the whole body of Christ, but I'm trusting. And another thing, when we used to go to California at first early in the early years of sonship, I remember how the Lord had put on my heart in such a supernatural way, I won't go into all the details, but about praying for the restoration of the fivefold in the body, that God would put His church in order. And that was something that was so on my heart. I even remember flying back home on one of the planes talking to this lady, and she was talking about the fivefold ministry. She was in California too, but she was from like Maryland. And we were sitting on the plane, and we were going to Tallahassee, and she just happened to be going to Tallahassee so she can go to Maryland. And she was talking to me on the way home after I had shared that with that body there that we were ministering in. She had told me that she was going to a fivefold church. So her pastor said God told them that they were to have a fivefold church. And it was like, wow, Lord, you know. That it was a confirmation, but God began having me intercede for the perfecting of the body, that God would put that his body in order. And I thought it'd be quicker, but I mean, he's working on it, you know. Mm-hmm. We people are kind of stubborn at times, yeah. But
the king is coming.
Yes, he is.
In his timing.
Yes, that's right.
And I'm not talking about the end time king. I'm talking about he's coming for us now, today, that his kingdom will rule over.
Yes, right. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Absolutely. And another thing that he was showing me is that we're going to see multiplication. I was listening to a testimony of there's a group called America's Intercessors, and I was on the phone with people from around the United States, I guess, maybe even the world. I don't know who all was on the phone, but it's called the Intercessors for America. And the man who started was giving a testimony of that morning when he went to the store and he needed toilet paper for his family and he couldn't even find a basket. And he walked in the store and he looked around. There was no toilet paper and he couldn't find the basket. And the next thing he knew, somebody was giving him a basket and God was giving him toilet paper. It was like, how did that happen? You know? And when he said that, I saw multiplication of toilet paper. I said, Lord, are you saying you want us to you're going to multiply things, so we have the belief of that, you know? Then it reminded me about the fish and the loaves, because I've been on that script, on that whole scene, meditating on that for the last few weeks. And it was like, yes, my people will be doing miracles. I mean, can you imagine I could see handing out toilet paper and you just keep handing that. Now that sounds so silly, but I mean, it doesn't sound any sillier actually than handing out fish to thousands of people and having leftovers. I mean, think about it. I mean, I've been putting myself in the place of those disciples and thinking about it, really thinking about it. And, you know, Jesus said, you know, hello. So I can't even imagine the things that we're going to be doing. But I can't. I want to start imagining it. I want to start imagining what he's been doing, what we've been doing there. We need to meditate on those things and get. And the Lord told me recently he's taking me deeper in the Word than he's ever had before. So he wants us in there. He wants us meditating on it, thinking on it, letting him put it in us and show us how we're going to be used in those mighty ways too. I believe that's coming. I'm not saying it's going to be tomorrow, but I'd like it to be. I'd like to see healings tomorrow. I'd like to see them today. We saw them the other night with Michelle. She got her shoulder healed, and I got my shoulder healed. And that was double duty, because she asked for it, and I got it too. So there's nothing impossible with the Lord. But I'm hearing these things, and I'm thinking, Lord, am I really hearing you? But I believe that I am. I believe that he's going to use us. And like multiplied the way he uses disciples, but even multiplied. He said, we're going to do greater works. Hello. I mean, I don't think any of the disciples multiplied toilet paper. That's just a joke. But we are going to do the greater works. Don't take me too seriously.
I was concerned that we'd have to carry around dispensers on the skip and refurbish it or something.
I was concerned about us gathering leftovers.
You know, it's interesting. There's been all these, like, I know Natalie's seen them too, the little Facebook posts and, like, different large family comments of things that, you know, we're running into, because there's things that you get more of because you're a large family, not because you're trying to hoard. And you're getting the ugly looks. I got a house full of girls. We go through a lot of toilet paper. And Joy is, I have limited her to counting four squares. So you sit there and watch her. One, two, three. I'm like, tear it! No more. Because when she would roll, I'm like, no more. And so I'm like, if you don't stop, you're going to use leaves for pee-pees, and you're going to use toilet paper for poo-poos, and it's going to get more limited. So,
well, this is the time like, that there are endless dry leaves.
You know, I'm like, it's either this or you don't get, I mean, that's what it's going to come to. And, like, they're like, you know, boys don't have to worry about this. They don't have, they can just shake it off and keep going. But girls have to use toilet paper for both, and I've got a house full of them, and we're struggling.
I'm going to tell a little secret since our brother Gary's gone to heaven, but that used to be something that he would hoard, toilet paper. I don't know why. I guess he was always thinking there might be out if something happened, you know. That was so funny. I don't know why that ever, I never could figure that one out. But
well, anyway. Lisa blessed us with letting me know that there is a janitorial company that still had that stuff, and I went in there and got commercial amounts of toilet paper.
Wow.
So I've got cases. I'm like, we're dead.
Wow. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, I was reading the other day at the nursing home. By the way, I've really been praying for a lot of nursing homes that God will begin to move. I know that there are some pastors in the nursing home that I have been ministering to, and I'm just praying that those pastors are stepping up to the plate, mm-hmm. that are in there as patients, you know, because it's really. I've been praying for even angels to minister in there because there's a lot of shortage in help in nursing homes. They're not seeing anybody, any of their loved ones. And when you're old, that's really important. If some people don't have loved ones coming to see them, and I'm just really not happy that I can't go in there and at least pray for them, you know, because I know that they really look forward to that time I was there. They really, really, really looked forward to it. And so I haven't been there in about, I guess it's been going on 2 weeks now. And so I want to encourage you to pray for nursing homes that all over the United States, these people are, I can't even imagine being in there and not being able to see anybody or anything. Because they don't always get the best treatment from the people that work there. They really don't. It can be really bad. And to not have any eyes watching out for that and watching out for trouble. And so pray for Lida and pray for nursing home patients, people.
And for the anxiety of the families.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. In Psalm 102, there's a scripture in Psalm 102 that I came across, and a couple of things that jumped out at me recently. In Psalm 102, in verse 16, I never really saw this. It just kind of jumped out at me the other day. It says, "When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory." And that's pretty profound. Mm-hmm. Zion is built up.
Mm-hmm. Zion is God's holy people.
Right.
And they're being built up. This is the end. We're getting to the end. Mm-hmm. And another thing he was emphasizing to me the other day was in Matthew. I'm sure Matthew did write that down. Matthew 16. He was having me revisit what he said. In verse 16, verse 27, you know, we always look at us as the harvesters, the ones who are taken in the harvest. And this is at the end, he talks about the parable of the harvest of the, well, Matthew, it's the whole book of Matthew, so I would encourage you to, you know, pay attention especially to Matthew in your studies. "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. And in another place he says, no, I thought that was it, but that's not it. Matthew. He says, somewhere in Matthew, he said, the harvest is the end of the age. And it also says that the angels will be the one that will come and take the tares out. Mm-hmm. And we've always thought that the angels are going to come and take us out. But it says that the angels are going to, that's at the end of the harvest, the angels will come and pull out the tares, because that's the end. That's when he's come. So that's kind of interesting. I mean, I just never, you know, you see these things, you read them forever, and then I'm just seeing it in with different eyes now. And I think we're all starting to see things in the Word differently. And so I just want to encourage you to share those things. And anybody have anything on their heart they want to share?
It's in the storm that God's bringing to us. That's where an abundance of fish happen. It stirs up the water, there's more oxygen. So mm-hmm. after a storm, and he's going to give us storms, it's for people. Mm-hmm. And
very good.
And for, you know, visits to Gadara, and for people to be put on the ship mm-hmm. and rescued. And mm-hmm. for our own, you know, sustenance and provision.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And a multiplication of our needs.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Anybody else have something to share? Oh, sorry, Natalie, you go ahead.
Oh, well, two things. For one thing, I feel like personally, and for everybody, I think we can all kind of see this, that God has put me in like a vice grip, like literally a vice grip. And I can either see the vice as being the enemy, or I can see the vice as being his mercy, because he's putting me in a position where I can't do anything on my own. I can only look to him. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, building up of Zion is going to happen as individuals place their expectation on the Lord and stop placing their expectation on spouses, on friends, on
Amen.
Presidents, on administrations.
Yes.
And we as a body, as the whole body of Christ at large, as we begin to put our expectation on the Lord, he will place us where he needs to place us in order to carry out his plan. Mm-hmm. And that is what the Lord's been teaching me, that my expectation isn't in my husband. Mm-hmm. And what that does is it frees me to love him, to love everybody, the way God wants me to love them, instead of me seeing them as falling short or not living up to expectations or whatever. So reordering of expectations and thanking Jesus every day for putting us in a vice where we can only look to him. Mm-hmm. So that's what the Lord's been teaching me.
Awesome.
Well, you know, the thing is that we have a purpose. Mm-hmm. God has given us a purpose. That purpose is to love him. Mm-hmm. When we love him, he sets us on missions. Mm-hmm. And the mission then is the path that we walk. But our purpose is to love him. Above anything else, that's our purpose. Mm-hmm. So when we start keeping our purpose of loving him, then he shows us the mission and the path that we're going to take.
Well, you can't truly love another person in 1 Corinthians 13 fashion. Right. Until you get to a place where it does not matter how they respond to your loving them.
That's right.
Amen.
Because that is to truly love without expectation of return. And mm-hmm. the way that the world has taught us is that you can only love somebody if they love you in return.
Exactly.
And that is not godly love.
Mm-hmm.
That's worldly love. Mm-hmm. Which is why Jesus said, "Do you love me?" Peter to three times. Mm-hmm. And he said that, "Feed my sheep."
Right.
Because he understood that as Peter was drawing from God and learning how to feed the sheep and caring for the sheep, that would build a love for God that he didn't have before. Mm-hmm. What God has shown me is that I asked him why they made a calf. Why a golden calf? Of all the animals, of all the things they could make, why a golden calf? And God took me and he showed me Joseph. What did Joseph say to the brethren? Don't say you're shepherds.
Very good.
Say that
you're cattle herders.
Mm-hmm. And I looked it up. And the Egyptians had a god that was a bull. And you know where that god was primarily worshipped? Mm-hmm. In the same area where the Jews resided.
Yeah.
And so they had created a god for themselves in imprisonment. Mm-hmm. And when God came back and he said, I am that I am, follow me, and he set them free. It was in turning back. That was the same thing as when they would say, well, let's go back. Where did we get all the melons? Where did we get all the cucumbers? Where did we get all the... And we do the same thing. God brings us out of captivity and he leads us out. And when we take our eyes off of him, then we put our eyes on what's comfortable, what we're used to, what's easy, on the old man and what we were. Because that's who we are.
That'll be your next sermon. It's in detail, right?
That I have three sermons.
Oh.
But there was no way I could preach tonight.
Right, that's
okay. So.
Well, we're all preaching tonight. That's what the Lord said. We're all to contribute tonight.
Can I finish on what you were saying? Because what God's been showing me, like I showed you the other day, we're like in a valley. Those that cling to the kingdom, this is a means to an end. This will all eventually end. But are we going to turn back to the world?
Right.
Or are we going to keep our focus on God? Because there's people now, and it's not this church. This church is pretty well focused on God, but there are people now that are focusing. So what I see here is mercy. And it's after this is all over, those that return to the world are the ones that will face judgment.
This church does pretty good, but the thing is that I think, my opinion, microly, each one of us do have things that we place our focus on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes it's the country, sometimes it's the president, sometimes it's the spouses, sometimes it's the children. And so we have to be careful that we don't say that we're beyond that, because there are things that are constantly pulling and vying for our attention and pulling us away from God.
It's that smooth talk.
That's right.
That's
exactly right.
That's very soothing to us.
That's right.
Yeah.
The
comforting.
Yeah. Right.
There's no comforting like the Holy Spirit, though. Yeah. There's no comforting like the Holy Spirit, though. He's amazing. A long time ago, when I guess my oldest daughter was five, I know I've shared this before, but I think it bears repeating now. There was a, David Wilkerson wrote a book, and I forgot the name of it, but I don't think it's in print anymore, but it was a vision that God had given him of America. And I read it. And it was really
called The Vision.
Oh, that's right, it was called The Vision. That was hard to remember, right? it was called The Vision, and he had a whole vision of what was going to happen to America. Did you read that? Do you remember reading it? And most everything that I can remember in that book came to pass, has come to pass, and even more. But when I read it, it was not comforting. It was, you know... at the end, it was like he didn't have anything to say about the end and God's people. You know, it's like, Lord, I'm just not comforted. And I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I need to hear from you. Hey, don't leave me hanging, God. You know. And he very specifically gave me a scripture, and this is the scripture that he gave me, and I've hung on to it for many, many years. And it's in Isaiah chapter 33. Because I was fearful. And he said, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surpassed the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? And who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutting his eyes from seeing evil. Now, folks, we live in an age where we see blood and we see evil on TV on a regular basis. Just want to throw that out. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be in the munition of rocks. Bread shall be given him, and his waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty, and they shall behold the land that is very far off. That is what the Lord gave me, and it was very comforting, because I knew I'd see him, and he'd take care of it. And I don't know what that was going to look like, and I didn't care anymore after I read that. After I read this, I didn't care. It held me all these years, and I still, it's still comforting to me, and it's still a big part of holding on, because it can get really bad, but we're going to be taken care of, and we're going to see him. And when we can literally see him and his beauty, we can see it now a lot. But the way that I took it then was that I was going to be able to see him, and that was all I needed. Mm-hmm. And I still feel that way, you know? I still feel that way. So I just want to end it with that. And if anybody has anything, don't let fear, don't let any circumstances invade your territory. Michelle was kind of afraid this morning. She was afraid she was getting the coronavirus. I said, no, you're not. We're not getting it. We are blood covenant people. We have covenant rights. And anything that wants to tell you different, you get rid of it, because we are covenant people. And there are rights in that covenant. And the blood of Jesus did not get spilt for nothing. There are rights, there are a lot of things attached to that covenant, and we need to understand what that covenant represents and who we are and what belongs to us and what doesn't belong to us and what we're not to allow in our lives. And we have to do, we have to stand against it. The devil's pushy.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
He is not fun. And he doesn't care about the blood covenant. He'll eat your lunch unless you take a stand. You have to stand up. Just like you see anybody coming after you. If you're on the playground and you saw somebody come after your kid, you're not going to stand there and say, oh no, they're coming to get my... No, man, you run out and kick the whoever and the whatever and say, no, you're not touching my kid. And that's the way Jesus is with us, and that's what that covenant was about. And we need to realize, I know I'm sounding like a mom talking to kids, but you know, sometimes it's just got to come down to that, especially when you're a mom with kids, you know, you just got to come down to that. And so I'm not very theological today, but that's what it is. It is what it is. And so, Father, I just thank you that you're comforting each one of us, and that as we take communion, we will remember and think on those things that that covenant represents. Because this is where we have the victory. It is in your blood. It is in your meal. It is in partaking of you and all that you are that we have what we have. And I thank you that you're taking us into a greater depth of faith and knowing who we are in you and who you are in us. Not just in our head, but it become a part of each part of our lives. That we can not just hear it and have a mental assent to it, but that you are literally making it a part of every fabric of our being. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.